Welcome to Security Architecture Podcast, where we help cybersecurity professionals to stay ahead of the curve and ensure they are successful in their cybersecurity journey.
Hi, I'm Evgeny.
I am Dimitri.
We have here Brian from McAfee. Brian, can you please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about McAfee as well?
Hello, I'm Brian Brown, a regional solution architect for the Americas from McAfee. Been with the company for about 13 years, and as you may know, McAfee is one of the largest pure-play cybersecurity companies focusing on device-to-cloud security, digital transformation, workplace transformation, and how we secure customers' data as it transfers through all of those environments.
The first question would be about the name of the offering that's addressing the outbound browsing.
Our offering is called McAfee Unified Cloud Edge. And what it represents is it's a convergence of three seemingly disparate technologies that we brought together under one banner. So that includes our endpoint DLP solution, our web gateway or internet boundary and gateway solution, and our CASB solution, all under a single management platform as Unified Cloud Edge.
So SASE is a term that was defined by Gartner last year. And it includes a lot of different components. Which components beside the outbound browsing you guys cover as well?
So in terms of SASE, McAfee's Unified Cloud Edge or UCE covers all of the data-centric controls that are part of the SASE framework. Specifically, that includes, but not limited to, SDP latency, DLP, SWG, remote browser, threat prevention and detection. And really that category is very interesting because we do that at every layer from the endpoint all the way through the web access layer and up to native controls and native data creation in the cloud. And that's done all with a single console for policy, alerting, and remediation. We also cover degrees of functionality in geo-restriction, cloud app discovery, both for sanctioned and unsanctioned or shadow IT discovery, UEBA and fraud detection, sensitive data discovery, obfuscation and privacy. And although it doesn't directly address further areas, it does play into some of the other aspects of the SASE framework, such as cost optimization, routing and path selection, and more really due to the optimizations that we've made on the back end in supporting a strategy of internet breakout as opposed to higher cost uncured connection infrastructures. So we're really covering a very extensive portion of the SASE portfolio. Areas that we don't cover are more on the pure networking and SD-WAN areas that are not natively part of our portfolio where we have partnerships with other organizations.
Thank you. A lot of companies and mainly a lot of organizations sometimes confused by vendors telling them how mature is their product. Some people say, oh, you just put VMs in the cloud. Oh, you just move the hardware. So tell us a bit more about maturity of McAfee SASE outbound part and what you guys did in this area.
Sure. UCE is, because it's a convergence of our award-winning CASB, which you may have heard of in the marketplace as Sky High Networks, which came to market in 2014 as one of the first CASBs that was ever introduced. The convergence of that with our web gateway, which exists in both an on-premises deployment, could be a cloud-based deployment or even a hybrid model, and our DLP solution, really all of those technologies have existed in the marketplace for quite a long time. The newest one being actually the CASB solution being 6 years old. The DLP and the web gateway in terms of product offerings from McAfee have existed for close to 10 years. What's new is that we've taken these three proven solutions and brought them together under a single banner. And really what we focused on is the value proposition for a organization that centers around being able to have a single policy framework being able to pervasively implement data-centric controls that are common from device to cloud. And what that really means is that there's a single policy engine, there's a single DLP engine that we leverage across all three of those technologies and combine into a platform that allows for unified incident management and remediation in one place. You're not looking at one at three different consoles to manage the solution. You're looking at one console for all three. So it's a combination of those three offerings that have been converged together in really, quite frankly, the way that customers want and need a management solution so they can gain visibility to all of the data center controls through any stage of its life cycle.
There are different type of business model ways to license such products today, like users, devices, concurrent connections, or bandwidth. How would you license your solution for your customers?
Licensing for UCE is done on a per seat or per user basis, regardless of number of devices. We, depending on the volume and use case of the scenario, there may be some additional layered licensing, which would be applicable for covering extra SaaS implementations and providing coverage beyond the scope of what is part of the base package in UCE. But generally speaking, we license it on a per seat or per user basis.
Do you find this the customer like this model?
We do. And part of the reason that we focused on that model is it provides flexibility. When you think of how customers are interacting with cloud services, how they're working in today's world, and certainly in the current situation where everybody is working in it under a different paradigm, the last thing that we can really have an effective control over is when and where customers are accessing their cloud services from. It's very difficult. And we want to have the flexibility to say, you need to access important resources, whether they be sanctioned, whether they be for personal use from your corporate device. In today's world, it's not unusual, as I'm sure you do. You have a corporate machine, which is managed by your entity, your organization, but you might also have two or three devices that you want to be able to access your email, other collaboration services, and they're privately owned. They're BYOD devices. And so the flexibility that we offer customers by going with the per seat licensing model removes us from that complicated matrix of trying to figure out what is a managed versus an unmanaged device.
And it's bring it perfectly to talk about architecture. And this all about the podcast is architecture. So Brian, can you please present, share the McAfee Cloud architecture for SASE outbound, how it's working, how do you guys scale, where it's located, cloud, high availability, all the interesting and nitty-gritty stuff that I'm sure people want to know.
Give you a high-level perspective on the architecture. What you can see is a representation of the endpoint solutions, which are in the major campus segmentation on the lower left-hand portion of the screen, things like data loss prevention. And it could be either a native data loss prevention solution that the customer has, be it one of ours, or it could even be a third-party competitive solution. There's network DLP as well that is also supported as part of the unified cloud edge architecture. And as we talk about the gateway or the boundary of that campus extending out through the web gateway physical appliance, which is the internet boundary between that campus and all cloud services, this is representing a on-premises style of deployment. However, we do also offer the flexibility for customers who are interested in using a cloud-based web access model. And so you'll see the Web Gateway Cloud Service, which is also represented there. We give customers choice. They can run one or the other or both, even in a hybrid model, and still gain the benefits of the unified cloud edge infrastructure. Also up in the cloud, natively obviously, is mVision Cloud. So that's our CASB offering, which was born in the cloud, lives in the cloud, and is native to the cloud, which provides us API-based control over major CSPs. You'll also see representation on the right-hand side of how we tie in with SD-WAN players, for example. And while we don't offer an SD-WAN solution natively, We do partner with organizations like Versa, Silver Peak, VeloCloud, for example, and provide a combined value proposition that extends our capabilities and overlapping with SD-WAN-based access controls that feeds into the overall architecture. And so really what we have is a degree of flexibility from a deployment model so that customers can support on-premises, hybrid, fully cloud-native solutions and still gain control over their devices and data. On the lower right-hand corner, you'll also see things like branch offices, which might be connected over that SD-WAN connection. And the remote users in the lower bottom middle portion of the screen represent access by either sanctioned corporate devices or could be a BYOD device. So part of the flexibility of our architecture allows us to support all access models, forward proxy, reverse proxy, and API-based control for access to cloud services. And so that just enhances the overall value proposition because no one of those can cover off all of the use cases that are part of the SASE framework, much less all of the potential use cases a customer might have. But by being able to support all three of those models in combination with cloud-native controls, it really gives customers the flexibility of being able to cover any scenario for data access to CSPs, regardless of their use case.
Can you talk a bit more about the cloud itself, data centers, how you guys do have a high availability, for example, how to make sure you can scale?
Yeah, absolutely. So the back end of our cloud service is based on a very stable, highly available model. In fact, one of the things that we tout, and you can look up these stats on trust.mcafee.com, is our availability. We have maintained a 5.9s availability percentage, even in light of massive increases in cloud service usage through the current pandemic crisis, for example. So our architecture for how we have built the back end is founded on the principles of high availability and resiliency. We exist in over 55 points of presence throughout the world right now, using localized super POPs and POPs that are regionalized to each geo. Customers can optimize their traffic flows so that they are speaking with a local presence as opposed to backhauling across the internet backbone to a presence which would be in one geographic location like the US or Canada, for example. We do also have points of presence that exist within the Canadian marketplace specifically, where we've made investments in our infrastructure to support specifically Canadian local access. And based on that, we have been able to scale as needs dictate when customers see increased demand for CSP related services.
Are you utilizing any public cloud infrastructure, or it's all managed by your teams?
So we are actually leveraging public cloud infrastructure in both Envision Cloud, our GTI cloud, and our Web Gateway cloud service do exist in public cloud. And one of the interesting things about the way that we put our solution together is that with those localized points of presence, we are also implementing peering with the major CSPs. So we are actually in the same data center locations that the CSPs are located at, and also have direct connectivity to those major CSP infrastructures. And one of the anecdotal observations that many of our customers have noted is the fact that even when using technologies like our Web Gateway cloud service for web filtering, they're actually many times seeing an increase in speed and access. And the reason for that is due to those peering relationships that we have created, because we are directly connected in a lower latency and lower number of hop perspective to the major CSPs where people are going, things like Office 365, Box, Salesforce, for example. And that aspect of negative latency often improves the browsing experience over what you would natively experience going direct out to the internet and going over whatever provider or whatever path that you might have existing today.
The next question, which is around the user identity. Administrative worker need one type of access, a developer needs different type of access, and executive team needs something else.
Sure. Really depends on the scenario. And what I mean by that is that when we have a managed device and we might have a point of presence with the McAfee endpoint agent, for example, and the specifically the McAfee client proxy, one of the unique things that we implement is a transparent proxy model, which means that customers do not have to authenticate to the proxy directly themselves as they access the web. When we are talking about connecting to a major CSP, we tie in with identity and access management solutions, Azure AD, Okta, with a number of different models. We can act as a SAML proxy with the identity providers. So we essentially get into the path during the authentication phase, and then we rewrite URLs for inline API-based controls when they're accessing CSPs that we service with the API protection model, for example. We all also implement custom OAuth tokens so that if we're functioning in a reverse proxy model, we can work with the identity provider and still provide protection services with the UC solution. So we're not an IAM solution directly ourselves, but we work with a number of different identity models and frameworks depending on what the use case is, because we need to be flexible in that sense.
Next question is around scale of the solution. How you ensure you scale for customer demand, right, if you have a sudden spike? I mean, COVID-19, as you mentioned before, it was a great test for these capabilities, but is there anything unique in your solution that makes it, indefinite scalable?
So we're leveraging all of the cloud-native scalability and agility that is present in public cloud infrastructure to be able to scale as needs dictate, really at the speed of cloud. So I wouldn't say that there's anything that is specifically unique in that sense. What I would tout is the fact that we have a proven infrastructure. And again, if you look at, trust.mcafee.com and look at our availability levels and percentages, you'll see that it's been extremely consistent. We have maintained that 5/9 availability regardless of the load that we've been under and regardless of the situation. And that is consistent throughout our global perspective. So I don't think there's anything that we can necessarily cite as being necessarily unique, but I do think that we have a very good reputation, which can be validated by customers quite easily to see that no matter what the circumstance, we've been able to maintain the highest level of availability for people who leverage the UCE solution.
This brings me towards the way you optimize the user experience and making it faster and better.
Sure. Well, it's interesting because there are potentially multiple aspects that can drive the user experience in a more positive fashion. And I'll cite things as high level as an architectural model in the sense that if a customer today is backhauling all of their traffic across a VPN for access to cloud services, potentially there's an impact to that. In some situations may not, and that's great. But if there is, then part of the benefit of using the unified cloud edge infrastructure is that we would allow customers to go directly out to the internet from a managed or even an unmanaged device and potentially have better or faster access because they're not backhauling across the VPN while still maintaining all of their security controls. That's going to be a location and a situation dependent result and benefit potentially. On top of that, I'll go back to what we talked about before in terms of the aspects of peering relationships where that helps increase the potential, I won't say guarantee, but a potential for users to have a better experience because of our faster and localized access to major cloud services. I mean, if you're logging into a web presence, you obviously want to speak with the most local tenant that you have available to you. And at every step of the way, we attempt to optimize that experience so that, for example, when you're logged into Office 365 from a location here in Canada, you're hitting the Canadian presence of that. When you're logging into Office 365 in the States, or maybe you're traveling and you're around the world, you're hitting the local presence for that CSP. And so all of those aspects really combine together with the fact that we support the ability for direct to internet access for all these cloud services, as opposed to backhauling across the VPN, the peering aspects. All of these can contribute to enhancing the customer's experience with their web access while still maintaining all of the security controls that are necessary from a corporate perspective. And this all even extends out to the BYOD scenario, for example, where we have unmanaged devices that might be used for accessing those cloud services. We can check whether or not the device is managed. And if it's not managed, we can still allow read-only access. So I could, for example, log into an email solution like Office 365. I would be able to read emails, but I would not be able to download any data or attachments directly to my device. So that it gives us the flexibility to support an access model, which still allows the end user customer to be able to gain, to have productivity, to do what they need to do, but still maintain those security controls.
You mentioned about a unified dashboard. So just to make it sure we're on the same page, I can manage all the infrastructure from one dashboard. I don't need to log into different dashboards to make changes.
Correct. This is one of the real value propositions that we have with the Unified Cloud Edge solution, is that when we think about how an organization wants to manage access or manage its threat prevention and manage the threat domain, we don't want to have different solutions for different access models. We don't want to have different solutions where we have to manage a DLP policy for what exists on premises versus my DLP policy for data in the cloud. If I'm an office worker who's part of our HR organization, I should have the same policy framework be applied to me regardless of where the data lives. And what we have done with Unified Cloud Edge is ensured that we have a single policy, we have a single DLP engine, including classification, across all of our touch points from the on-premises infrastructure all the way through the web access layer and all the way up through traditional CASB type or cloud native solutions and services that we provide, so that there's one place to go for managing that policy, there's one place to go for viewing incidents, and importantly, there's also one place to go for incident remediation and reporting. And that's really very powerful.
Yeah, it's very important. A lot of the users and people I'm talking to really looking for unified management. Let's dive in a bit more to the infrastructure and the architecture. And I will touch base about first the office and then the remote users. So let's talk about the office. What's my options to connect to the SASE platform from the office?
So what we have is the ability to support a number of different architectural models. And although, you know, I've obviously represented things like our web gateway here as being a McAfee product with a McAfee Shield, it's important to note that we do provide the flexibility so that customers could have an existing web gateway solution. And we can even leverage that as part of our access model. So as we talk about, you know, kind of defining boundaries, if we look at an on-premises model, we don't necessarily have to have an all McAfee solution. There would be ideally an ability for us to tie back to the endpoint itself with data center controls and have DLP there, but we could also function with just purely network DLP, for example. So in the on-premises scenario, our recommendation would obviously be having the McAfee agent present on the endpoint. And whether or not we have either endpoint DLP or network DLP, we can function with either of those two architectural models. And having a web gateway, be it ours or a third-party solution, both of those are supported for on-premises deployments.
I know traditional SASE solutions, a lot of time you leverage VPN tunnels, such as GRE or IPsec. So is this also an option, or you guys prefer just to work with the web gateway part?
It is an option that we do support. So it is possible to leverage an IPsec tunnel up to the cloud if that's what your preferred access model is.
What will be the benefits in your case? Or when would you use IPsec or GRE versus just use web gateway as a proxy, I guess?
Well, really, I think that comes down to aspects of control. And also, it speaks to whether or not there's going to be a limitation that could be imposed based on the VPN bandwidth. And in certain scenarios, it could be more desirable to not use a VPN tunnel because of bandwidth limitations and go direct out, in which case, if we are leveraging the Web Gateway Cloud service, then we would be directed by the local agent on the endpoint direct up to the cloud, and that traffic is always encrypted anyway. So it's really a question of preference from a customer's use case scenarios as to using one or the other.
Touch base on SD-WAN. Can you elaborate a bit more how the configuration and connection with SD-WAN will work?
What we have done is we have partnered with companies like Silver Peak. I'll use them as an example, but not, mm-hmm. certainly not limited to them, so that when we are looking at the controls and the SD-WAN model, that access model that they provide, we are looking at path optimization with respect to how traffic actually gets up to the Web Gateway Cloud service that overlaps with what is done at the SD-WAN layer. And then we also have the ability to potentially push policy-centric controls back down to an SD-WAN player through an API. And we've done this in certain scenarios already.
So you can do provisioning basically for the SD-WAN. Is there multiple remote offices?
Correct.
In this case, you're only going to be doing port 18443, or you do more ports with the SD-WAN providers?
So with SD-WAN providers, we're not limited to just 18443. We can cover a broad scope.
And you personally, do you see benefit to inspect other protocols and ports besides 18443? Probably more 443 right now.
Great question. I mean, the bulk of the traffic is primarily 18443. There's no question. I would say that in terms of inspecting additional ports and protocols, today, I think there's some benefit to doing that, certainly just from a visibility perspective, to understand whether or not there is other unauthorized or potentially malicious activity. That is a potential that does exist beyond usage of 18443. So I think overall there is a benefit. I think a lot of the focus today is purely
customers
on the
asking those. You to inspect all the ports and protocols, I'm wondering.
I would say a small percentage in today's market. Okay. So it's not something we see pervasively, but a small percentage of customers are asking for that, yes.
Makes sense. Let's switch a bit to endpoint. So you mentioned what you do in the offices, but you also mentioned that a lot of the time you prefer the endpoint solution. How to work on the endpoint? Do I need a special agent? Can I use my EPO or EPO, depending on the country, client, to route the traffic?
Yes. So EPO, or EPO if you prefer, is our policy management solution focused on endpoint technologies. And it's also the place where we integrate directly with the unified cloud edge infrastructure. So when we represent an endpoint agent, as shown here by the little McAfee shield on the PC with DLP endpoint, for example, that is actually pushed by the EPO server. And that gives us our ability, because we already have that touch point with what we call the McAfee agent on the endpoint, or the client in this case, to push the policy for access. And that is functioned through the McAfee agent that says we're going to use the web gateway on premises, or use the web gateway cloud service. So all of the on premises device centric controls are all driven through the EPO console to deploy the endpoint technologies and agents themselves. But then the policy for framework of access and DLP is driven out of the Envision Cloud console to provide that single policy layer once we have the endpoint agents installed.
What if I'm not a McAfee user and I don't have an agent on my PC?
You know, in that model, we have the potential of doing a couple things. When you look at a traditional device like a desktop, a laptop, even if you have another security solution that's present on the endpoint, we can still layer on the McAfee client proxy, which will then allow you to direct traffic to the web gateway or the web gateway cloud service. And that's irrespective of what other security solution and controls might be present on that endpoint. And that gives us the ability to then work with the cloud access layer through the web gateway on-premises appliances or the cloud service. Obviously, we feel that there's a benefit to having more extensive capability with our presence, for example, with DLP on that endpoint, so that we can implement those controls through the single policy framework. But we do support the model where we're only leveraging the client proxy for the access layer, and you could still perform some degree of manual remediation for the competitive security solution that exists on the endpoint in that scenario.
Popular question I hear a lot: can I disable the agent? Can I uninstall the agent and just basically bypass security?
Great question. So we protect the implementation of the McAfee agent so that it cannot be uninstalled, the service cannot be stopped, even by an admin level user on the machine. So we protect that with a key-based exchange, so that only with the presence of the proper key can you gain administrative control over the agent.
If I go down this path, I'm trying to connect to the internet going to the unified cloud edge, but my machine is not up to the specs. Maybe it's not patched, or maybe I don't have another security solution. Would you do any conditional access to check my posture on my device and tell me, no, you cannot go to the internet?
So in that scenario, we could do a couple of different things. We could potentially deny all access to the internet if that was desirable based on customer's policy. We could allow open access to the internet, but apply all of our controls that function in the way that the device is unmanaged. So we could still, for example, going back to that use case I was talking about before, allow access to a CSP service, but allow it to be only in a read-only fashion. So we can evaluate the posture of the device upon access to the cloud. And if it does not meet whatever criteria are decided upon as being acceptable, then we could allow a read-only style of access to a cloud service to ensure security in that circumstance.
Makes sense. This is great. From delivery mechanism of the agent, from what I understand, if I have an EPO agent, there is nothing particular to do. I can basically just add another layer. If I don't have anything, correct, I'll have to push the client using the traditional tools. Or there's any other way to do it?
Yeah. Absolutely. So deploying the client proxy or other technologies like the DLP agent, for example, can be done through a number of different means. We can either have an EPO server, which exists on premises, or we do also have a SaaS offering for EPO. So we could push the agent directly from either the on-premises or SaaS-based EPO server. We can provide an agent install package, which can be deployed with any software standard software deployment tool. We can also create a specific web URL so that if a device is present at home, for example, where we don't necessarily have direct access to corporate resources, I can simply download it from a web URL and install the agent that way.
Multiple I guess options. right now it's a good way to distribute the agent if you don't have access.
In today's world, we need to be flexible.
We will talk a bit later about technology partnership, but I want to ask if anybody OEM your solution or is any other way to use Unified Cloud Edge, maybe with the ISP or in different ways.
Sure. So without getting too much into details, McAfee Security Solutions are OEM'd by several ISPs, some actually even here in Canada, for example. It does come pre-installed as a solution from a consumer perspective on selected hardware devices when you purchase one. While those are somewhat different solutions because they are part of our consumer division, they do support many of the same controls from a web access perspective as UCE, but UCE is more focused on the enterprise. And as such, it's an offering that is applied directly to customers by our partner channels. And it is something where we are currently exploring the potential for having partners offer managed UCE as part of their offerings. That's not something that we do today, but it is something that is under consideration as a potential consumption model.
Right. Interesting. Because outbound browsing, it is part of Secure Web Gateway, what we did is we took some of the Gartner definitions of Secure Web Gateway, and we're going to run and ask you some questions about it. And the basic one is, can you do URL-based policy basically by groups and definitions?
Yes, absolutely. So this is something that we have always supported as part of our web gateway deployments, be it either on-premises or web gateway cloud services. URL grouping, categorization, and filtering based on the posture and profile of those entities. And that's only been enhanced by bringing Envision Cloud or Sky High into our portfolio. And the reason I say that is that we have a cloud registry as part of that service, whereby we evaluate today, close to 30,000 different web entities and rate them on 53 different metrics and 206 submetrics around their risk posture. And part of the value that we were talking about before is, having that single policy view with Unified Cloud Edge that brings into account aspects of the registry within the Envision Cloud infrastructure that overlaps then with your web access layers through the Gateway Cloud Service, allowing an organization to say, I'm not going to allow access to an unrated site or certainly something that is known as malicious. We're going to deny access for that. So that's long been a part of our capability.
Is this means that I have dynamic categories, like say bad category, and you dynamically on a backend just update them?
So we do update the cloud registry all the time. Based on what we publish, we know that that's not always the be-all end-all. Customers always have the ability to change our risk rating and posture of those cloud services and also provide their own rating for services which we might not yet have as part of our cloud registry. So the flexibility is there to provide some level of dynamic control.
As simple, I can put bad URLs from McAfee and you guys will maintain the URLs and blogs them, correct?
Absolutely. They can automatically be categorized and known based on their posture that is published through the cloud registry that all the devices benefit from. And so if we see access to a new URL that we have not observed before and is categorized as bad, it will automatically be put into that category by policy on the device, and access will be denied.
What will happen if I try to download the file? Walk us through the architecture, how it will be scanned.
Well, that's a great question, and it really depends on the scenario. So part of the benefit of what we have with Unified Cloud Edge is an aspect of layered protection. And this really begins with, you know, the request itself and where we're implementing those protective controls. So if I look at a request for a download, for example, and I'm accessing a website, what are we going to do? Well, with web protection through the web gateway, we're going to evaluate based on a number of different criteria. We're always scanning the access and the download from an antivirus perspective. Hey, we're McAfee, you would expect us to do that type of security control. We're also evaluating the site and the location by its reputation, which ties directly in with our global threat intelligence. This is great because it gives us a very quick and well-known methodology for evaluating that access and potentially what is the content of that download. As we actually go through the aspects of attempting to download the file, we also have the layer of gateway anti-malware. And so this is almost a sandboxing-like technology, which allows us to scan the content and determine whether or not there are any malicious entities. So it uses a number of different characteristics, like heuristic-based detection, to be able to determine whether or not the download itself would be safe. The ultimate extension of this is where we have remote browser isolation. In scenarios where we can't determine the status or the stature of that download, we can always redirect the session over to an RBI infrastructure, which is part of our portfolio. And that gives us the ultimate level of isolation so that we can implement all protective controls and completely isolate the browser entity itself and then any subsequent downloads from any malicious behavior.
I see a small star near it. Does it mean there's something special about it?
So this is something that we have just currently, that we've recently made an acquisition from of a company called Lightpoint Security. And as it stands, as this date today, at the end of May, the browser isolation piece from a management perspective is not fully integrated into the UCE solution, but that is something that we anticipate will be done very shortly.
Thank you. If part of the site malicious, like flash or banners, would it go to browser isolation or to be protected in a different way?
Again, this is really an evaluation of policy based on a customer's criteria. And in certain scenarios, there are layers of technology which are considered unacceptable. And you brought up a great one, Flash being a primary exploitation vendor and something that, often goes unpatched and is soon to be unsupported from Adobe's perspective. Depending on the organization's risk tolerance, it may be determined that using a Flash-based plugin is completely unacceptable. We could simply disable it or deny access to any site that requires Flash as part of policy. We could deem that it's acceptable and push all of the access through the multiple layers that you see here and ultimately isolate it as part of RBI. That's really more of a decision point that an organization has to make based on its risk tolerance. Sometimes we might say, as long as it passes through the first and second set of criteria and goes through things like gateway anti-malware, it's considered safe enough because we also have endpoint protective controls that exist on the device that's being used for access. So it's really more of a policy-based decision, and the flexibility is there for companies to decide where they want to, you know, kind of step up that level of control. The ultimate degree of that, obviously, is remote browser isolation, where everything is completely isolated from the endpoint.
Okay. What about Shadow IT? Been a very popular topic. I'm guessing with all the URL filtering categories, you can present a very detailed report and tell companies what's happening in the environment.
Yes, very much so. So as part of the very strong heritage that we have with our CASB technology that came from Sky-High Networks, Shadow IT is something that we've done since day one, and we support very well. And part of that does tie in, obviously, with the cloud registry that I mentioned before for that rating and risk posture that allows an organization to decide based on the rating criteria, are we going to even allow access to a particular site based on our policy? Shadow IT as a capability is something that I would say we're extremely strong in, so that we can allow access to what are potentially those long tail SaaS and Shadow IT services, and evaluate whether or not there is any risk to the endpoint based on that access. But you know, from a dashboarding and reporting perspective, we then go and have the ability to tie directly in with the web access layer. We call it closed loop remediation, so that if we see access to a site which is rated as risky, we will implement a control down at the gateway device, whether it be ours or even third-party solutions, that modifies the policy and denies access to that Shadow IT service if we deem that it is unacceptable.
Makes sense. Let's quickly touch base on bandwidth shaping and QoS. What are the options and what's our potential use cases?
That's not something that we directly support today. That's mm-hmm. not part of the UCE solution. So we do not have any capability specifically in those aspects as part of what we offer.
Okay. I know you guys do DLP, and you mentioned DLP, so we're not going to touch base too much on DLP, and it's a separate topic for probably 1 hour discussion. So let's just talk quickly about the inline CASB functionality. Is it? I'm guessing it is a part of the web gateway, part of the CASB combination.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll go back up to the architecture model. So that is supported directly through what you see represented here as mVision Cloud. So that is our CASB, which came from Sky-High Networks. And as I mentioned before, it does support all architectural models, the forward proxy, reverse proxy, and also API-based controls with the major CSPs. The interesting part about our CASB is that it's an extensible framework. So one of the components of mVision Cloud is what we call CASB Connect, which allows an organization to look at a SaaS service that is sanctioned, but we don't necessarily support today. And it will actually go and enumerate and evaluate the APIs that are available from that SaaS service and allow a company to build support for that sanctioned IT service as part of our CASB, without requiring us to build a specific integration. And so that's a very powerful, extensible part of what we do with the CASB that layers on the API-based native controls that we provide out of the box that can be used to extend what protective services are offered as part of the mVision Cloud infrastructure.
How can the customer POC your solution?
So, best thing to do would be to get in touch with me directly, and we will provide you a contact point with McAfee or a partner who is local to your area, and we can arrange for a POC to be undertaken as in whatever environment is necessary.
In majority of the cases, would you prefer agent to deploy, or how?
So it really depends on the scenario that a customer wants and needs to address. If we need to have a data-centric control that stems right from the endpoint device itself all the way out through the cloud, obviously we need some way of touching that endpoint device itself. And so an agent would be necessary in that sense. If we're simply talking about a cloud access model and protective services as we access those CSPs, where we can, you know, we can obviously then do things like DLP in the cloud and DLP with a cloud access, but we can't do have an effect or have controls on the endpoint device without an agent, we do support that model as well. So it really depends on the use case scenario that a customer is trying to address. The endpoint agent is not necessary in that sense because we can simply take all the traffic and forward it through the proxy and go completely agentless with the web gateway cloud service model for the web access layer, and then of course layer on the CASB component through Envision Cloud as part of UCE. It really depends on what the specific test scenarios would be based on what the customer wants to do.
We're almost done with the official part of the podcast. We spoke briefly about partnership. Can you talk about technical partnerships that you guys have right now that helping your solution to be more robust and more secure for the customers?
Sure. McAfee's long had a program which we call the Security Innovation Alliance, where we have different levels of technical capability for integration and convergence with partner solutions. And I think a great example of that right now is the fact that, you know, that web gateway, that web access layer, where we can tie directly in with competitive web access solutions. And I won't go into the laundry list of who those are, but you can imagine the big players in the marketplace. And when we determine that we want to institute a policy based on a preventative control to, say, an unauthorized site, we already have connectors built for those third-party solutions to be able to implement that control down to the web access layer, as an example. Certainly not limited to that. And when we look at the extent of the SIA partnership, we have over 160 different vendors as part of the SIA Alliance, where we've developed different levels of integration of our solutions. Sometimes it's reporting only, where we might have a third-party solution that feeds up information into our console for a unified reporting perspective. And other times it goes beyond that, where we have the ability to actually send a message and institute policy on the third-party technology. So if you take a look on the McAfee website, you will see an indication of our third-party technologies who are supported under the Security Innovation Alliance infrastructure. As I said, it's very extensive and really depends on the actual partner technology, dependent on the capabilities in terms of whether it's things like reporting only or actual control of the solution.
What would be the three reports that can show me the before and the after state when I'm implementing UC solution? And something that, you know, I might take to the board as CISO of the company.
Sure. So one of the neat things that we've done with our technology is we've developed what we call the Cloud Security Advisor, or CSA. And what it does is it allows an organization to take a look at the controls that they're implementing today across their CSPs. So this could be SaaS-based services. These could be IaaS and PaaS services. And it gives an indication as to the existing posture based on the art of the possible. So for example, if we have integration with an IaaS player, Amazon, Microsoft, we can evaluate the IaaS infrastructure against a set of standards which are based on, you know, CIS controls, for example, or custom defined policies that customers can create, and determine whether or not we have certain settings, profiles that are deemed as more or less secure. The CSA maps those out. And in scenarios where the maturity level of the controls is less than it could or should be, we actually make recommendations on how to fix those within the CSP's infrastructure. So what this allows a customer to do is essentially advance their security stature and posture, and give them a way of tracking their performance over time. So they can see, you know, a month ago, we were at a rating of, you know, 36, 40% on our controls with a particular provider. And today, because of the additional configuration enhancements that we've made, we're now sitting at 63%. And so it gives them a target based on their own stature and posture, and also compares them against peers in their vertical industry. So that's part of the Envision Cloud Console. It's a functionality that we call the CSA or Cloud Security Advisor. That's a base component. It's not an extra charge facility that that we ask customers to pay for.
Great. Are we kind of done with the official part? And it's a free time to open topics. I do have a couple of questions based on our discussion. And then if you have any other issues or not issues, ideas. One is, what's your take on TLS 1.3? And two, what's your take on DNS security? Many vendors going down this path to secure the DNS connectivity.
Yeah, so DNS security, again, is not something that we natively play in. We have many organizations as part of the SIA partnership who provide DNS security that we tie into. And, you know, through capabilities that we have with what we call the data exchange layer or DXL messaging bus, we can actually push out messages which can then be actioned upon by several players who function directly as part of DNS security. Like I said, it's not something that we do. That's where we look with look at a partnership style model for supporting that that type of direct capability. As far as TLS 1.3, in terms of, is your question more, is it necessary to support? Is it a good thing to do in today's marketplace?
The concern is like when the moment is out, nobody will be able to inspect the cell, you know?
Right. Yeah. So the web gateway infrastructure today does native TLS 1.3 support and also HTTP2 for SSL inspection for both inbound and outbound. So we do have that capability already as part of the web gateway layer. Is it a good thing? Absolutely, I think, in today's world. And is it going to make the world more secure? Certainly. So I think from our perspective, we see it as a necessary support component. We already have that support built in.
Great. Any topics from you that we didn't capture and you want the audience to listen and know about McAfee and your solutions in general?
So, a couple of the things that I think we would like to point out, and this kind of extends the conversation out a little bit beyond the technical aspects, but part of what we are proposing as a value proposition is the fact that there is value in that unified console infrastructure, right? And I think we can understand, you know, if we're looking at controlling data, and we look at what it would take to implement a DLP policy across all three of these layers. Arguably, I think we can say that if we converge all of that into one management solution with one policy framework, one DLP engine, one classification scheme, and sure, if we need to support native classification capabilities that exist as part of the CSPs like Microsoft's Azure AIP, we can do that. But I think when we talk about that value proposition that it represents to an organization, what are we really driving towards? We're driving towards more effective security controls, more efficient security overall. And that really brings out the aspect of what is my total cost of ownership, right? if I waste less time by not looking at three different consoles and trying to build a policy that's equivalent across all three of those, what is the value and the impact to the organization? I would argue that it's quite significant, and we're addressing some of those concerns that large organizations have today as they shift to the cloud. There are a whole new set of controls that are necessary that are cloud native. The existing models that they might have had for data centric controls in their on-premises environment don't necessarily apply, or they have to be shifted up into a cloud model. And so really, you know, I encourage everyone to take a look at not just the technical aspects. You know, do you support this protocol? Do we have, you know, a rating service and a capability? But as we talk about shifting to the cloud, think about things like, how many management points do I have? How difficult will it be to actually stitch all this together? And that really comes down to the message around total cost of ownership. And so one of the things that McAfee is doing is not only focusing on the technical capabilities, but also focusing on that value proposition that represents an entire TCO model and a cost savings, becoming more efficient, I would argue makes security controls more effective. And so that's part of the whole reason we put Unified Cloud Edge together. We had great technologies with Web Gateway, DLP, the CASB, but when you look at what that represents to an overall architecture to an organization, we need to be able to show that there's real benefit to that, not just because we've got the best CASB, not just because we've got a great DLP classification engine, but because we're actually showing how through the unified policy management, we can make things simpler, more effective, and more cost-effective. And that's what we've done with UCE. So, you know, if anybody would like to dig down a little bit more into that, we're going to be providing my email address as an outcome of the podcast here for access to a POC, for example. Feel free to reach out about some of those more business-related focused aspects of why this type of architecture is going to bring benefit.
Thank you. It's great information.
Thank you, Brian.
We definitely want to have more of you on the next episodes that will decide what they are. One of them is probably going to be CASB, that it's a big, big part of architecture, but it's probably need an hour by itself to at least talk about it and what can be and cannot be done. And the cloud for the IIS as well. Brian, thank you very much for being here. And looking forward for next episode with you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to both of you.
Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and join us for our next episode.